Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and I'm glad you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel as we continue today in that study through 1 John. We're excited to bring it to you as always, and we hope that you're able to join us on each of these Friday sessions as we move through the pages of this wonderful letter from the Apostle John. And to get us underway today, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There was a point in Jesus' ministry where he took his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the most compelling question that's ever been asked of his disciples, and he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, there had been lots of buzz about Jesus, and folks were wondering, could he be the Messiah? Is he a prophet? What are we to make of this guy named Jesus from Nazareth? Well, when he turned that question on the disciples, Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's upon this confession that the church of Jesus Christ is built. It's one of the things that we all have in common. Now, the Apostle John was there. He heard Peter make that declaration, and I think probably all of the apostles or the disciples at that point had come to some type of understanding that this Jesus was different. He wasn't just a normal human being, that he did come from the Father. And that had been revealed to them. It was a truth that had been revealed to Peter. So John was there. He heard that confession. And this particular section of his letter, of his first letter, really revolves around that confession. The fact that all of us who are in the true fellowship, who have been born again, who have eternal life, have made the exact same confession. And that confession is this: whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. So you, me, everyone who is a believer has made that confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, for those who have made that confession, here's the truth: God abides in him and he in God. So we make that confession. The gospel of Jesus Christ touches our hearts. We encounter the living Christ. And in that encounter, we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. That's the confession. And as a result of that confession, it says that God abides in those who have made that confession and we in God. So we were once in Adam, now we're in Christ. That's where we live as believers in Jesus. So this section is all about that confession and the gifts that come to those who make that confession. So let's dive in and take a look to see what John tells us as far as the gifts of salvation are concerned, the love of God that's motivated this salvation, and the victory that we can experience in our day-to-day lives. So the very first thing we see in verse 13 of chapter 4 is this: "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." Okay? So what's the first gift of salvation to those who have made the confession that Jesus is the Son of God?
The Holy Spirit takes up residence within us.
So God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. That's what Pentecost was all about. Mm-hmm. Peter stood up, delivered this message about Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus. He gave all of the elements of the gospel story. And at the end of it, they asked, "Well, what should we do?" And so he gave some directives. And as they believed and received, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the people that particular day, and 3,000 were added to the church. We see that same giving of the Spirit to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and we see the same giving of the Spirit to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. So everyone who makes the confession that Jesus is the Son of God receives the gift of God's Spirit. And Paul really defines what a Christian is in Romans 8 when he says that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to him. So you can't be a Christian without the Spirit of God living in you. It's a really clear truth that is spelled out for us in the Word of God, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And you know, there are things in the Bible that sometimes are hard to understand. This is not one of them. God has made this abundantly clear. There is no middle ground. If you have the Spirit, you belong to Christ.
Right.
If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. No question.
Right. So the first benefit or gift of salvation is the Holy Spirit himself. Then the second, we have this testimony concerning Christ that he is the Savior of the world. We see that, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. So we recognize who he is, that he is God in human flesh, but that he also came with a mission, and
yes,
that was to bring salvation. And so we recognize him as the Savior, not only of the world, but our Savior, yeah, our personal Savior. So we have that testimony concerning Christ. And then in verse 16, it says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So in Jesus, we see and we learn something about God that we didn't know before. And that's this, that God is love. And so in making that confession, we have come to believe, to rely on, to trust in God's love for us as demonstrated to us in Christ Jesus. So I love how he puts that. We have come to know and to believe that love. So we have a firm conviction of the love of God. And Paul was really echoing this again in Romans 8 when he said that I am convinced that absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of Christ.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. So one of the gifts of this salvation is a firm conviction of the love of God. And then the last thing as far as a gift of salvation is this. By this is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. So what is a gift? It is confidence on the day of judgment. Why? Because we have become like Jesus. We were made alive just as he was raised from the dead physically. We were raised from the dead spiritually. And we are brothers with him and co-heirs. So everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us.
Yeah.
What does that do? It gives us confidence on the day of judgment. These are the gifts of salvation.
Yes, indeed. And that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us for the study through 1 John. Friends, in addition to this study, we have many resources to help you understand the good news of the New Covenant, and you can find them all under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. Again, you can see them at resources@basicgospel.net. And while you're online, please click that donate button and help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. We'll be thankful for your partnership. But right now, let's get back to 1 John.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we have this confession. We've all made this confession. And that is the foundation upon which the Church of Jesus Christ is built.
Yeah.
The confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this church, this entity that God has brought together through Jesus, is an eternal entity. It's not something that's going to fade away. It's not something that's going to come to an end. It lasts forever. And it lasts forever because the Son of God has eternal life, because
yes,
he has an indestructible life. And so when we make this confession, we're added to the body of Christ. We become a part of something that's much bigger than ourselves, mm-hmm, individually, and something that is going to last forever. And it's a kingdom, it's a church, it's a body that is tied together by love, the very love of Jesus Christ. And John gives some very encouraging things about this perfect love of Jesus Christ. So in verse 18 of 1 John chapter 4, he says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So when we come into this world, fear is the very substance that motivates us, that controls us, that moves us through this life. Most every decision we make as lost people is a decision based in fear. So our relationship with God is all fear-based. Why? Because we know something's wrong with us. We know we deserve punishment, and we're fearful that that punishment is going to be meted out to us at any given moment.
Yeah.
So we're just seeing God through that fear, and all we see is his judgment. When Christ enters the picture and his perfect love enters the picture, that perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because we know the punishment that we deserved went upon Jesus. And that opens the gateway that we can just experience the perfect love of God. And as we do, that perfect love of God casts out fear. So if you're walking around today fearful of God's punishment, then you have never come to rely on or believe the love of God for you. You have not experienced one of those gifts of salvation. And if that's the case, I invite you, I encourage you right now,
yeah, right now,
to say, "Lord Jesus, thank you that you stood in my place, that you who knew no sin became sin for me, became that sin offering so that I might become the righteousness of God in you." Will you receive that gift of grace? Will you rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and allow that perfect love to cast that fear out of your heart and give you the confidence to stand before God knowing that you are righteous in his sight? And we just pray that if fear is in your heart, that this message of love will cast it out right now.
Absolutely.
So the perfect love of God cast out fear. Then the perfect love of God starts to work in and through us. Love is not something that is poured into our hearts just to become a reservoir of love. No, the images in the New Testament are of rivers,
yes,
things that are flowing from God's heart of love for us into our heart and through our heart into the lives of others. So it's this river that has a fast-moving current that brings about enormous change within relationships in a very, very positive way. Now, this love is not something that we generate in and of ourselves. We love because God first loved us, and that's the message of verse 19. We love because he first loved us. So this love, that's why we know we're believers when we see the love of God flowing out of our lives into the lives of someone else. Why? Because it only comes from God.
Yeah.
And when God comes to live inside of us, he's poured his love into our hearts, and that love is going to start flowing out of us. And when we see it, we recognize, hey, I know the source of that.
Yeah.
I know who is the source of that. That's mm-hmm. God working in and through me. And so he continues to say that anyone who loves abides in God and God abides in him. Mm-hmm. And so this love is not something that we can counterfeit. It's not something that we can fake. And that's what he's really saying in these last two verses, 20 and 21. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. So, I mean, if you can say all you want, "I love God," but if that love isn't flowing through you into the life of somebody else, especially another believer, then you're a counterfeit. You're a fake.
Yeah.
You're not a part of the real fellowship. You're still in darkness. So if you can't love the person that you see, how in the world can you love the person that you don't see, God himself. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, this is the ninth time that John has written something yes. like this. And what he's saying is that if you are a true, genuine believer, you have come to know that God is love. This God of love has come to live inside of you. And this God of love is manifesting his love through you into the lives of other people.
Yeah.
That is the story of the gospel. And it all starts with the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
It's a very clarifying study through the book of 1 John, and I know many times, friends, there are distractions while you're listening, and if there's something you've missed, or if you would like to go back and complete and revisit the archive, we have a complete archive that's available to you at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there, the entire archive, and we hope you'll take advantage of it, and that you'll share it with others who want to learn to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the archive is open freely to everyone at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. And then what we want to do is go into chapter 5, the first five verses. And based upon this confession that Jesus is the Son of God, we have this salvation, we have the gifts of salvation, we have this new way of life, which is love, faith in Jesus Christ that is manifested through love. And in that, we overcome the world. And we have this victory. And that's what God wants for all of us, to live each and every day a victorious life. And John gives us some insights on how that really is made practical in our everyday lives. So he starts in chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So he's just repeating what we've already said. So if you've made the confession that Jesus is the Son of God, then you've been born again. That's what it means to be saved, to be born again, to be made alive together with Jesus Christ. And because you've been born again, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever who has been born of him. So there is this supernatural love that now connects every single child of God. And you just sense it. You just know it. I mean, if you travel to another part of the country and you go to a church and you've never met the people in that church, because they are true born-again believers, because you're a true born-again believer, y'all have both made the confession that Jesus is the Son of God, there is this love that connects you, these ligaments that tie you together as one in Christ. And it's a phenomenal thing. We've all experienced it. And the only way to explain it is to say, this is the supernatural love of God being poured out through each and every one of us.
Richard? Yeah, it's inevitable. You know, so many times when we think about love, ooh, I've got to love. I mean, how am I going to love? Love, 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 love. And that's not the conversation. It's Jesus. You love me, and look what's happening. We can't help it.
Right.
I mean, you have to work hard to deny the love that's flowing from you to other people. And sometimes we do that, and the Spirit says, "Come on, just let me work in you," but that word inevitable is a powerful word.
Right.
Usually we think of it negatively. Well, inevitably I'll fail. No, inevitably you will love as you have been loved. It's clear. It's another one of those things that has no question about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I know, and we've all experienced this, that you know, these relationships we have one another with other brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We get into tiffs. We hurt one another. We do all of those sort of things. And if you've ever been hurt by another believer, and certainly I have, I've hurt other believers, and you want to hold a grudge. You don't want to forgive. You don't want to reconcile the relationship, and you try to stay away from people, but then you run into them.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing what happens. And what here's what happens. The love of God just starts bubbling up inside of you. And all of that grudge and all of that you were holding on to just absolutely melts away. You can't help but love that person and want to be reconciled to that person. That has happened to me. I've talked to so many people that it's happened to them. All of those grudges, all of that bitterness just melts away underneath the powerful force of the love of God that is in your heart, that's in their hearts, that brings you together as one again under this confession that Jesus is the Son of God. So that is the victory that we experience, and that's what John wants us to know, and it all comes from this confession that manifests itself in love one for another. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Right.
You know, you look at those Ten Commandments, and you think, wow, that's burdensome.
Yeah, talk about Atlas carrying the world
that's
on
right.
his shoulders.
That's exactly right. And then you look at the Sermon on the Mount, and you think, oh, my gosh, I thought the Ten Commandments were hard. Mm-hmm. This goes all the way to the inside, to
it's
the
impossible.
Heart. I've got to be perfect in the heart, and that becomes burdensome. But when we realize that what Jesus had in mind all along was a life of faith that's manifested in love one for another, we say, oh, wow, all you're asking of me is to trust you, to walk by faith in you. That's it. And as we do, we're going to experience the fruit of that, and that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So the commandment is not burdensome. It's simply trusting the one who loved you and gave himself for you. So for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What is the commandment? It is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in 1 John chapter 3, didn't we, Richard?
Yeah, we did. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love others as you have been loved by him.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
That's exactly right. So it's connecting us to the source of love, God himself. And when we're connected to the source of love, we can't help but see that love flowing through us. So who is it that overcomes the world? That's a big question. Who is it that's going to live victoriously in this world today? It is the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
So we start this passage with the confession, and we end it at the very same place, the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Have you made that confession? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize that there's nothing else that has sovereign control over you other than the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, will you come to that point today and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord?
He is indeed. Friends, we hope that you're enjoying and benefiting the study from 1 John as much as we're enjoying bringing it to you. If you've missed any of these sessions along the way, you can review them at basicgospel.net/teaching. That archive is up 24 hours a day, and it's there for you and anyone you'd care to share it with. So we hope you'll do that. basicgospel.net/teaching. We'll continue in this series next week at the same time, and I hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, if you have a question about anything you've heard, or if you have a general Bible question for that matter, just call our 24-hour listener line. It's 844-322-2742, and you can leave us a voicemail. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or just drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way is a great way to get that question to us, and we'd love to be able to answer it on the air here at Basic Gospel. As we close today, please remember also that this ministry is listener-supported, and we need your help to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please visit basicgospel.net to see all the ways that you can make your gift. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. By the way, if you're listening or participating internationally, PayPal is the best way to make your contribution to Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody.